ladies and gentlemen, may I introduce Mr. Anthony Hancock?
Good evening. Tonight I want to tell you a story. A story fraught with the brutal conflict of a tangled web of human emotions. A story daringly frank in its stark reality. The tragedy of a chef, a master of the culinary arts, set against a torrid background of steaming kitchens and cold cabbage water. Cool yet tender, savage yet poignant, it brings to your radio sets a vivid portrayal of a man whose genius was evident from every fork hole in his pie crust. This is the story of a woman, young, warm, and beautiful, whose great love for her man was an inspiration to him, and yet was to become a barrier between him and his shrimp cocktails. Yes, a truly memorable story of human weakness, frailty, and courage. This story is fictitious and bears no resemblance whatsoever to Bing Crosby in The Country Girl.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are proud and privileged to present this milestone in dramatic achievement, The Country Boy, or The Chef That Died of Shame.
The name of Persoire Igons is now a legend throughout the kitchens of Europe. He was undoubtedly the greatest chef of this century. Yet I, Grant Faversham, knew Persoire Igons when he was only Percy Higgins. Of Higgins Premier Pie Stall, care of the Horse Trough, Covent Garden. I first met Percy one cold November night in 1948. Higgins Pie Stall.
Hey, old Charlie. I'm Roland Charles Stefanoff. Thank you, and the next.
Evening, Purse.
Hello, Fred. What you going to have? Pan out the till? Usual, one up, five coming up. Coffee?
Yeah, don't hold it out in the rain.
You want a full cup, don't you? All right, 10 and a half to you. And the next, gent.
Good evening.
Oh, good evening.
Coffee or tea? What do you suggest?
It don't really matter. It's all out the same urn.
I recommend the coffee. Sugar?
Please.
You'll find a knob on that bit of string. Dip it in and out if you can. Suit your taste. Here you are.
Thank you.
Are you hungry?
No, really, I...
Go on, do yourself a favor. Have one of these. Go on. Have one of these.
What is it?
Hot pie. Go on. Tell me what you think of it.
Well, all right. Yes.
All right, eh? All right. It's good.
It's delicious.
I make them myself, you know.
They're wonderful. Why, this pastry, it's... It's far better than anything I've ever tasted at the Ritz.
Well, them stalls up the West End, they don't trouble, you know.
Mia,
don't you see I'm an artist? Cooking to me is... I don't know, it's an art. It's a way of expressing myself. It's like music. I'm a composer, and my meat pies are my symphonies. If only I could get a job in a little restaurant, I could spread me wings and experiment. I could try the really big stuff. Meat pie and chips. Chips! Chips!
Oh, don't go on. Don't torture yourself.
I can do it. I know I can. One of these days, I'm going to be a great chef. I'll have me picture on the buses holding up packets of salt. Beard. I'll have me beard, right? Until then, I'll just have to find solace in me meat pie.
I think they're marvelous. May I take some home with me?
Oh, certainly, sir. I'm sure you'll like them.
I know I will.
I do me best. I lavish a lot of care on them. But, well, the trouble is these days you can't get the meat, but then I'm a craftsman. I make do with what I can get hold of. Here you are, sir. Half a dollar, please.
Well, that's it. Drink up. Clear plates, please. Closing time. Fred, help me get harnessed up. I've got to pull the stall home tonight.
I say, shouldn't you have a horse to do that?
Yes, well, strictly speaking, We should, yes, but...
Well, where is it?
But it's like I said, you can't get the meat these days. Being a craftsman, I make do with what I can get hold of. Good night, sir. I'm sure you'll enjoy the pies. I've done my best.
It was as I watched Percy Higgins trotting down the road on all fours, his blinkers flapping in the breeze, that I realized I had just spoken to a great man. Not quite a Wilfred Pickles, perhaps. But then, I was determined to help him. I've decided to take him to Paris to study cooking under the greatest chefs in Paris. Percy started his studies at the International School of Cookery in the Champs-Élysées under Monsieur Pinet.
And our students, Monsieur Higgins, will show us how to make the flaky pastry.
Oh. All right, then, certainly, a plaisir. Bonne chance. Flaky pastry. Well, we empty 1 pound of flour into our mixing bowl, add 4 ounces of cooking fat and a pinch of salt. Now we pour half a pint of water in and mix it all together with our hands. By now, we should have a large, sticky lump of wet dough lying helplessly in the bowl, completely at our mercy. We pick it up and place it on the rolling board. Now, gently removing our left hand... our left hand... so as not to... gently removing our left hand... our left hand... gently removing our right hand... our right hand... holding it down with our... we gradually... placing our foot on it, we... we pull it... scraping it off our foot, we then... sitting on it, we roll over... wedging it in the door, we then... scraping it up with our air, we... pull it our right, our left... putting it, tugging at the stretch... spaghetti. Monsieur, ici. Can I make a souffle?
No. All right, then. At the special request of Monsieur Higgins, everybody will make the souffle. You have 10 minutes from now. Go.
Now, let's see. Break 5 eggs. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Separate the whites and the yolks. Beat them up into a stiff paste. I'm only a strolling vagabond. So it may end. That's it.
Haven't you forgotten something, monsieur?
Have I? Oh, yes, the bowl. Sorry. Half a pound of sugar. Drop of milk. I'm in the pale and the valley, you know. So good night, cooking fat. Cooking fat. Excuse me, miss.
Monsieur?
Could I have a pinch of your fat?
I'm...
That is, I...
Please, monsieur, go away. I...
Here, you're crying.
I'm not.
You are? I can tell. Your cheeks are wet. And there's tears rolling down your face. You're crying, you are. Come on, cheer up. Please don't cry.
Oh, I'm sorry, monsieur. It's very silly.
Look, here. Blow. Now, what's the matter?
Oh, it's silly, I know, but, well, I just don't know how to make a souffle.
Is that all? I'll help you, Miss...
Dubois. Martin Dubois.
Percival. Percival Higgins. H, high, egg, egg, high, hen.
Higgins.
No, Higgins. No, the H is silent as in oats. Now, what about this souffle? Let me help. Now, watch me closely. Now, break 5 eggs. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Separate the whites from the yolks. Beat into a... Martine?
Hmm?
The bowl.
As the weeks went by, Percy saw more and more of Martine Dumois, and his cooking got better and better. She seemed to inspire him. He excelled in everything. He passed every examination with flying colors, and on graduation day...
Monsieur, mesdames, the Grand Prix for the best cook of the year has been awarded to Monsieur Perçois Egon.
It's not fair! I'm better than him!
It is you!
Oh, yes, of course. I changed my name when I grew the beard, didn't I?
Monsieur Higgins' prize-winning dish was from his own recipe, grilled winkle's feet on toast.
Thank you. Thank you. Merci.
Hello. Merci.
I'd just like to thank you for the honor you've afforded me, and I would like to pay tribute to the invaluable help given me by Mademoiselle Dubois, without whose patience I never could have completed me grilled winkle's feet. She took their shoes and socks off. Vive la France.
Merci, congratulations. You are wonderful.
Thank you, Martine. Martine?
Yes?
I'd like to see you alone. Could I carry your rolling pin home from school tonight?
Thank you.
Come on, then.
Oh, what was it you wanted to see me about?
Oh, yes. Martine?
Yes, Percy? Perçois?
I've been thinking about us.
So have I. We'll never see each other again after today.
I like you, and I'm not much to look at.
Well, that's true.
Let me put it another way. Ever since I first saw your apple turnovers, I knew there could be no other. Oh, Martine, can't you see?
What?
I'm asking you if you would consider sharing the same pie dish with me.
Of course I will.
And so they were married in Montmartre in the little church just around the corner, Notre Dame. It was a beautiful wedding. Percy looked magnificent as he walked down the aisle. His brand new chef's hat contrasting sharply with the blue and white stripes of his butcher's apron. And at that time, I was fairly well acquainted with Moishe Rubenstein and his mother, Lady Pamela. Moishe owned probably the largest chain of luxury hotels in Europe. And it was with the idea of getting Percy a job that I invited Moishe to the wedding reception, the food, of course, being cooked by Percy.
Dinner is served, sir.
About time. It's 2 o'clock. I'm starving. Hey, what's this?
Consomme de Windsor Brun.
Yeah. Oh, well, we'll try it.
Spoon, sir?
No, thanks. I've finished it. Very good. What's next?
Poisson, sir.
Haven't you got any fish?
Oh. Poisson is fish, sir. Steamed turbot.
Oh, that'll do. Shoot the turbot to me, Herbert.
Very droll.
How many courses are we having?
23, sir.
23?
Yes, sir. The last 10 are served in bed.
I think you'd better bring on the next courses, Percy. We've got a lot more to get through yet.
Hello, 7 o'clock?
Now, 5 o'clock. The last two were my buttons.
More chicken, Moishe.
No, I don't think so, Grantley boy. If I have any more, I'll have to sew a chunk out of the table to get near it.
But you haven't had any dessert.
I'm full up. I don't want any.
But I spent hours preparing it.
I'm sorry. I've had enough.
Well, you can clear the things away, Percy. We'll have the coffee in the lounge. Well, Moisha, what do you think of our Percy?
He's a good boy. Could do with a cook like that at my hotel.
Head cook, 30 quid a week.
40.
All right, then. 35 quid a week, all in.
All in?
Well, he will be the way I work it.
So the next day, Percy started his new job at the Hotel Rubinstein. He was an immediate success. Celebrities from all over the world came to sample his food. Then finally, the seal was set on his greatness. Royalty graced the portals of the Hotel Rubinstein.
Francois, show Miss Neagle and Mr. Wilcox to that table.
And then came tragedy. Percy's success had been too rapid. Earning a fabulous salary, he became the darling of the society women. He neglected his wife. He became conceited. He didn't return home for days on end. Nightclubs, drink parties, women, all the things that can ruin a man. How I envied him. The crash finally came on one of those few nights he did go home. I'd received an urgent message from Percy's wife to go round and see her. Moisha was with me, and when we arrived there, I'll never forget it.
Oh, Grant. Grant, I can't go on. I can't go on.
Martine, what's the matter, child?
It's Percy. Where is he? He hasn't been home for 4 days. Where is he?
The last time I saw him, he was in Trafalgar Square, sitting in front of one of the lions, waiting for the picture to start.
So, he's drunk again. Every time he comes home, it's the same. An empty whiskey bottle in his pocket. He's changed, Grant. He used to save a drop for me. What's happening to him, Grant? I can't stand much more of it.
Don't give way now, Martine. You must not.
But he ignores me. He walks through the door. I hit him over the head with a rolling pin, and he just lies on the floor and refuses to speak to me. Why, Grant? Why?
Oh, he's all mixed up, Martine. He's all mixed up inside.
I've done everything I can. I've even threatened him. Last week, I told him if he didn't stop drinking, I'd put my head in the gas oven. He was very polite about it.
What did he do?
He held the door open for me. He was never like this until he became famous. I shall never forget our wedding night. He came into my room so shy like a little boy. And he looked at me with eyes so full of love. And with childlike innocence, he said...
Hello? Hello, what's all these men doing in here?
Percy, at last you've come home. Oh, Percy, darling.
Ah.
Pull yourself together.
No, I like me just the way I am. Spread out. What are you doing in my house anyway, you two? Get out. Go on. Get out. I'll open the door and count three. One, two, three. All right, then. Stale. I'll get up.
Let me out of this fucking door, no!
Who did that? Who did it? Who did it? Come on, come on. I'll have him out in the garden. 15 rounds, Californian rules.
Please, Percy, behave yourself. Not in front of guests.
My house. Let's have the television on. That'll get rid of them.
Percy, I've taken just about as much as I can stand. I'm leaving you. Do you hear?
But why, pray?
I never see you. You never give me any housekeeping money. You insult me. You humiliate me. You despise me.
You've got to take the rough with the smooth.
You We're through, do you hear? Through. You've lost yourself somewhere along the way, Percy. You've only got one hope. You must go out and find yourself.
All right. I'll go and have a look down at the Nag's Head. I'm probably in there.
The moment that door slammed, Percy sealed his own fate. Martine left him, and without a support to fall back upon, poor, weak Percy fell lower and lower. And from then on, it was a downward path. Second-class hotels, third-class hotels, snack bars, pie stalls, doss houses, and then the final humiliation, sacked from British Railways. With nothing left in the world, he resorted more and more to the bottle.
Hey, you. Save again.
You haven't bought anything yet.
Well, give me two and make the second one the same as the first one.
Yeah, but what shall I make the first one?
You're a bit nosy for a barman, aren't you?
I'm not a barman. This is a chemist shop.
Then, good afternoon.
Where are you going?
Round to the pub to weigh myself.
Weeks turned into months and Percy reached rock bottom. His podgy figure was a familiar sight to the publicans all over London. They'd open their doors in the evenings and he would fall in. Then at last came the turning point. Moishe Rubenstein was faced with a crisis. He rushed round to my flat in a panic.
Grantley, boy, what am I going to do? I'm in dead trouble.
What's wrong?
I got the United Nations delegates staying at my hotel. They're holding a big banquet tomorrow night and me cook's turned his hat in.
Why?
One of the delegates had a row with him about his dumplings. He's trying to get them put on a list.
What list?
Banned weapons of mass destruction. You know what? Now I got no one to cook a banquet. I'll be ruined, Grantley, boy, ruined.
Moishe, there's only one man in Europe who can do it.
Who?
Higgins.
No, Grant, no. No, he's finished. Higgins is finished. He's no good now. He's lost it. He couldn't even make the holes to put toads in.
Oh, you're wrong, Moishe. This is just what he needs to get his confidence back, his self-respect. Now give him another chance to become a man again.
All right, I'll chance it. Find him. Sober him up. I'll get the ovens ready, and if the meal's no good, he'll be inside one of them.
Quickly, I picked up Martine and we started searching for Percy. 2 hours later, we found him.
Percy! Oh, Percy, my darling, let me look at you. How are you?
Well, I'm broke. I'm nearly an alcoholic. My clothes are in tatters. I haven't eaten for a week and I'm just about to drown myself. Apart from that, I'm keeping pretty cheerful.
Don't worry, my darling. Everything's going to be all right. They want you back at Rubenstein's.
Me?
Yes, yes, a banquet. It's got to be the finest meal of your career.
I can't. I can't do it. I have finished with cooking. Don't you understand? I've lost the spark. That woman in the cinema adverts couldn't help me now.
What woman?
That fat old fairy who nips across them apple tarts with the wand. No, it's no good. I'll never cook again. Why torment myself? I can't do it. Look at these hands. They've lost their magic. They're useless, don't you see? Look at them. Gnarled, bloated, yellow, soft and flabby.
You've got your gloves on.
Percy, you've got to try.
Do you really think I can do it?
Oh, of course you can. Come on. The ovens are waiting for you.
As soon as Percy got back into the familiar atmosphere of the kitchen, his genius returned. His old flair for brand new dishes was still as great as ever.
Harry, I want a slice of bread 4 foot square.
What for?
Elephant's feet on toast.
And he was just as fussy over his ingredients.
I'm sorry. Take this winkle away. I refuse to cook it.
Why not?
I haven't seen its pedigree.
Slowly but surely, the banquet began to take shape. He put everything he knew, every bit of talent he possessed, into this greatest masterpiece of his life. Until finally it was completed. The first courses were served to the assembled gathering. The first spoonfuls were raised to their mouths, were swallowed, and then...
Ow! 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 Ow!
I told him I couldn't do it. And that, ladies and gentlemen, ends my story. The moral, oh yes, there's a moral, simply this. If you happen to own a pie stall in Covent Garden, and you see a bloke come out of the opera into the wet night with the strains of the ballet ringing in his ears, just pull the shutters down and run. And on behalf of the entire company and myself, good night to you all.
This has been Hancock's Half Hour with Terry Hancock, Bill Kerr, Sidney James, Andre Melly, and Kenneth Williams. Incidental music was composed by Wally Stott and recorded by the BBC Augmented Review Orchestra, conducted by Harry Rabinowitz. The script was written by Ray Galton and Alan Simpson, and the program which was recorded was produced by Dennis Main Wilson. Thank you.